This is an interview with Linda Green on behalf of the West Australian branch of the Australian Garden History Society. This will form part of the AGHS National Oral History Collection. Today is Friday the 1st of October 2021. The interviewer is Patsy Vizentz, and we are conducting the oral history in the home of Linda Green in South Fremantle, Western Australia. First of all, I want to thank you for participating in this oral history project because it's incredibly valuable for reference, for noting down, and for the establishment of the branch, right, which started in 1988. I'm probably way off here, but we've certainly got that documented, but thank you, Linda. Can we start by you giving your birth date, your full name, birthday and place of birth?
Okay. Linda Mary Green. I was born on the 10th of August 1953 at King Edward Hospital in Subiaco.
And just as a background for you, the family, what are the names of your parents?
My dad was Christopher Green and my mother was Joan Layton.
Did they both work?
Well, not really. my mother passed away when I was four, so working wasn't really happening in those days anyway. My dad worked, but he passed away probably 10 years later. So
That's a bit of a traumatic childhood for you, then.
Yeah, it wasn't the best start, but...
Yeah. Mm. Who raised you, may I ask?
Well, my dad, we went back to his house in Parkville on the weekends, and during the week we stayed with an elderly couple, sort of a loose foster type arrangement, like Monday to Friday we went.
So you had siblings?
Oh, I had a sister, yeah. Well, I've still got a sister.
Good. I'm very sorry to hear that. That's an interesting start for the 1950s.
Yes,
So where did you go to school then?
So my first 3 years were at Parkville Primary, and then when we started doing this Monday to Friday, then that was in Bassendean, so I went to Bassendean Primary, and then the first year or so was at Cyril Jackson High School, and then we were planning to move back to Parkville, so I went back to Eastern Hills High School for a year and a half or something.
I'm familiar with Bassendean, so is that West Road?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Gorgeous.
Actually planted a rose there that chose people each year to do something, and I had the privilege, I suppose, of planting a rose for I don't know what reason. But
so you were in primary school and planting a rose, yes. So did that indicate that you had an interest in gardening?
I don't really know how it came about, but...
Did you have an interest in gardening as a child?
I think so. We used to plant annuals and know the names of lots of plants when I was a kid, and also in wildflowers, not just... Mm. Garden ones.
So Parkerville would have been quite a wild bush,
yes,
area.
Yeah.
It still is, you know,
that's right.
Bush blocks and things.
Yeah, we had neighbours who owned bush properties, and we'd go up there and collect the wood. And while Dad was collecting the wood, we'd be looking at all the wildflowers and things. So,
oh, it's almost idyllic.
Yeah.
Actually, I shouldn't.
Yeah, that's good.
Right. So, is there anything unusual apart from the obvious, but you know, where and how you were living, is there anything that did lead you towards an interest in gardening?
I think I did have, I guess because we didn't have a mother, we did go and visit all the elderly neighbours in Parkerville. And so that's a little bit what I've written about on my genealogy thing. There was one elderly neighbours had quite an orchard, but they also had a very cottagey garden, you know, Queen Anne lace and poppies and, you know, all the old-fashioned plants. So we'd go there every weekend. Then another neighbour had more of a rustic garden, but she still was interested in gardening, so we'd go there. And then someone else, we'd drop in at a service station in Glen Forest, and that had a courtyard garden. And the lady there was very enthusiastic, so we'd go and look around her courtyard. So they were the main, I think, that generated an interest. And also with, at home, we would plant things.
Great. Would you grow your own vegetables?
Yeah, my dad had a lot of veggies and fruit trees, but we more or less, we had a little patch of violets that we'd pick the violets to take back down to Bassendean with us on Sunday night. And we'd go call into Coles or Woolies in Midland on our way back to Parkville and maybe buy some seedlings in those little paper bags they used to come in. So, yeah, we always did potter around in the garden, yeah.
That's very, very much connected with gardening.
It is, but then I guess bought a house with my husband and it was pretty basic garden-wise. I guess because we were both working and things. And it wasn't till much later that I thought I would study horticulture, or landscape design is what I wanted to study. But there wasn't even a course at UWA at that time for landscape architecture. So I went to TAFE in Bentley.
Was that, okay, so after secondary at Cyril Jackson, did you know that you wanted to do that then?
Definitely not. No, I went from Cyril Jackson, then up to Eastern Hills for a year. That was when I finished my junior. Then I went down to Governor Stirling for a year. And then I decided to go to TAFE instead of do my leaving there. And I studied to be a lab technician. So my first job was at PMH, the Children's Hospital, working in the lab. And I really stayed in that for probably 20 years, maybe. Not at PMH, but more in pathology. Yeah. And then in about 87 or 88, I thought, I'm sick of this. Oh, that's right. If I wanted to stay in that field, I would have had to go and get a degree in medical technology, which I didn't really want to do. So I decided to look at something else, which was landscape design.
Okay, and that's when you joined TAFE. You went back to TAFE.
To Bentley TAFE, yeah.
With the horticulture course at TAFE, you're exposed to the prospect of employment.
Yeah.
Is that how you became involved with the Garden History Society?
Not so much through employment, but John Visco, I think, was lecturing at Bentley TAFE, although he wasn't my lecturer, but he must have come into one of our classes and given a bit of a presentation on the Garden History Society. And myself and another friend, Kim Macy, we both joined the Garden History Society and the Cottage Garden Circle, just because we were finished. It was an 18-month full-time course. And so towards the end of that, that's when we thought, well, we'd like to keep an interest in both go to things. So went to the Garden History Society from there.
Had you thought what kind of work you were going to do with this qualification? What did you want to do with
that? I wanted to set up a landscape design practice, which I did virtually straight away, but obviously it wasn't a huge income earner straight away. So I worked part-time at the Wildflower Nursery in Wembley. And then they were also owned by Waldex and Subiaco. So from helping out selling and looking after the plants, I ended up helping with landscape design, and then I became their designer, more or less full-time for a while.
You started your own private business then?
Yes.
As a consultant?
As a designer, landscape designer, yeah.
Yeah. Are you still working as a designer?
No, I've sort of retired a few years ago, but I'm still getting requests mainly from extended family or previous clients. But it's very easy to get rusty. You lose touch with what's available, or eyesight's not as good as it was for drawing. And although I did have a drafts lady for a while, for quite a few years actually, but yeah.
The reason why we are conducting the interviews is, of course, to do with the Garden History Society, the formation,
mm-hmm.
and the work that was done in the early years. So you were enthused by Mr. John Visker,
yes.
to become involved. And have you got any memories of those early days before you became more involved? But as an entry member, did you go on trips? Was it an enticing sort of experience, is what I'm interested in?
Yes, well, I must admit the excursions were the main interest. I just enjoyed going out to all the different, well, a lot of them were in country towns and all over the place. So again, my friend Kim and her husband, and so the four of us would all troop off, sometimes with the dog if that was allowed, and you know, it would be a nice Sunday, the whole day looking at gardens. And
were there talks as well? Were there like excursions is one thing which I totally enjoy, but I also enjoy the more academic sort of approach where speakers who have got particular interests can present on, like, fungi or on a particular topic. Were there things like that?
There were presentations. I mean, a lot were done by John. I think in the early days there weren't that many speakers, but it may have been that they were on a weeknight or something, and if I was busy working, mm-hmm. I might not have gone, but definitely the weekend excursions, we always made sure that we had time to go and do those.
It's usually the way when you're working.
Yeah, so, but, yeah, we would have functions, say, at, I don't know, Bayswater, one of the historic house there, yes. and people would give a talk. I mean, John would nearly always give a presentation if he knew the topic, but then the people who ran the house or owned the house would usually speak about that as well. Yeah.
So how did you become involved with committee work for the branch?
I guess it was because I'd been a member for quite a few years and I just thought I should do my bit. So, yeah, I didn't really have much experience on committees and I don't think I'm a very good committee person. I'm a bit more of a loner, but anyway, I ended up secretary, I think. So.
Secretary is very important, keeping the documentation.
Yes. So I could keep the minutes and email out things.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was that I'm interested because I'm on the committee as well, and we plan and develop events. For instance, there's a talk coming up on the 6th, I think, of October. Kingsley Dixon is giving a talk on Wymando Nursery, which was to do with the Harper sisters in Guildford. So it's being set in Guildford.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it's quite exciting when you start planning particular things like that. But it's the volume of work that's involved in designing tours and excursions. So were you involved in those sorts of projects?
Yes. I think I just helped out on quite a few, but one I did was a garden tour around Pinjarra and Coolup, which really was basically my suggestion and therefore my responsibility to plan where we'd stop for lunch and who would talk to us and which order we did everything in and get some background history. So I did that one and I helped out on when we had the conference down in Fremantle. there was a bit of work, I can't remember whether it's, you know, different people were organising the buses and some of the food and so on. So I would have helped out on that one because that was in my period of time too.
So that was 98, I think.
Right.
So with the Pinjarra trip, your idea, why did that come up? You knew of a particular historic place or a garden or something?
Well, I was living in South Yundara for 4 years, which is quite close between Mandurah and Pinjarra. So if something came up in the local paper about somebody, a historic or their garden or their property, then I sort of tore those bits of paper out and thought, oh, one day I might, you know, do a talk. And then if they mention an old, I remember there was a family called Tricketts, so I looked them up in the phone book and just rang them up and said, have you got any remnants of your garden or that type of thing? So I sort of felt, because I was in that area, I could follow up.
Was it hard developing something like that for an unknown number of people?
On that particular trip, people, I just had to work out a map and get people to meet at one place.
Oh, self-drive.
That's right. And we just would go around in our own vehicles. And I think we had lunch on the veranda of a house in Coolup, which had a lovely garden. And so, it was quite flexible, really. Anyone was welcome to come as long as they arrived, you know, at the start point and got the brochure, you know, the handout and so on.
I think that's a tried and true method.
Yeah, that's right. Whereas we did used to have the odd bus trip or big thing, but quite a lot of them were self-drives. Mm.
Did you have anything to do with the National Management Committee?
I did serve maybe for a year or two. After I'd been secretary, then I went on to be the rep for the National Committee. And I did go over to Sydney for one meeting, which was interesting. Yeah, just put a face to all the names and things.
Today is the 17th of February 2023, and I'm conducting the second half of an oral history interview with Linda Green in Augusta, Western Australia. Thank you, Linda.
Pleasure.
In the first section of this interview, you concluded by mentioning that you did perform the role of WA rep on the NMC. Can you expand on this and how did the branch actually elect representatives?
Yes. I don't think there was much of an election held. It was just anyone who was willing and able. We had some meetings, I seem to recall listening to the Eastern States or online or on the phone. I think it was more like a party phone type thing. But there must have been the opportunity to go over to represent WA and I was available. I guess the others must have been working full time or something and they just said, would you be able to go? And I said yes. My first independent sort of trip over east.
Was that to Melbourne?
No, to Sydney, yeah.
Can you remember how long you did this for?
As the rep or just the meeting? The rep, only a year or two.
Yeah, so there's no longevity of
representation. No, and When I went over, I think we had the meetings on 2 days, and then I just had to report back to Perth what the discussions were and also, I guess, put the WA point of view on what was happening.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of it was to do with the economics of the thing, you know. The treasurer had quite a big role, as I recall, and that was...
And any names that you can recall that were on the NMC then?
I'm sorry, they were quite well-known people, but it's...
Any year? Can you...
Well, I was living in South Fremantle, so I would probably say it'd be close to like 20 years ago.
Okay, so the beginning of the 2000s.
Probably, yes.
Okay,
yeah.
That gives us a roundabout. Just keeping on the NMC theme, so how different, even when you were listening by phone, you would have picked up, but how different is the NMC to the WA branch?
Oh, it seemed a lot more formal, and their goals were more academic, I think I would say. I think we had big discussions, you know, about maybe setting up a fellowship for writers, or, you know, using some of the funds to go to, I think it was before Nina.
That's always been a part of the promotion idea of supporting writers.
Yes, I think they were more into really researching, and they had some very old gardens and well-known gardens that they could put their energy into, whereas in WA, none of our, well, only a few of our heritage gardens are that well-known, really. I mean, there's Government House Gardens and Queen's Gardens, King's Park, but private homes with gardens, it's just not as prominent here as in the eastern states.
With the WA branch and those historic West Australian properties, it strikes me as being that they were instrumental, the society was instrumental, in introducing a lot of the historic houses that you may not have known. So visiting on an excursion or something is really quite valuable to expand your knowledge. Did you find that? Was that part of the reason for going along?
Oh, definitely. It's like exploring in a way, because you would go to private gardens that were, and they were nearly all, a lot were remnant gardens, shall we say. So it wasn't like going to a restored garden. So I guess it just helped document all these private properties that had had gardens and they'd just gone to ruin. So without the society, probably nobody would know about them.
So, yeah, I think you're right that the society did form a pretty good function of letting people know.
Yeah, and little, there were tentacles going out. People knew little pockets of where a garden might be, but I guess by going through the society, it was all collected.
Yes.
I'm sure John and Anne have better records than me, and they know where we, all the gardens we went to and so on.
Is that Anne Willis?
Yes, yeah.
John is a font of information.
Yes.
On these, we rely on him. But so going out, can you recall how many you would have in a year, excursions?
There were, you know, two or three each year for sure, and there could have been a year that depended who was on the committee or what was happening. But usually there was one that John had spent a lot of time on, and then if someone else helped out.
I know how difficult it can be in organising things, but were there ever weekend trips away?
Yes, yeah, we definitely, I remember staying in Bridgetown, and we would look at gardens during the day, then we had an evening meal together in the restaurant. We've been to Albany. I think that could have been two or three days, because we stopped at Mount Barker and went across to Albany, Strawberry Hill Farm, that type of thing. I can't remember staying anywhere else. But
the distance is very, it really is prohibitive in some cases. And without having a bus or organised, was this, I'm presuming it was self-drive?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I was reading some notes yesterday, and I think the one Well, Tessa Watson, who was a member, she might have had a fair bit to do with that particular one down to Albany, and that was definitely overnight, and went to Denmark, Mount Barker, places like that.
Well, those excursions fed into what became the Albany Conference in 2014.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it had to, because, you know, the knowledge of that you picked up on researching and going to these gardens, you know, let's do something more with it.
Unfortunately, I didn't go to that one, but I was involved in the Fremantle one national conference, which was the first one we held, I think.
If it was the first one, that's 98.
Right.
The second one was 2005.
Country visit that Tessa wrote up from the Albany trip. So that was 2002. We did the weekend trip to Albany.
Very good.
Yeah.
Right, that's a good archive.
So, but the outings were what? I'm not that academic, so to just go and visit the gardens and take my husband and my dog was quite an enjoyable way to spend a Sunday, and socialise with other garden history people. And we did a walk around Mount Lawley, which I may still have been living in Mount Lawley when we did the Mount Lawley walk around.
Oh, walk around the street?
Yes,
That's interesting.
I don't know if I suggested one of my neighbours a few doors down had a big old garden, or whether John knew about it from some other connection, I can't remember. But
yes. We
definitely went to a house about two doors down from me. So
that's a nice idea, nice intimate sort of idea. I know now we balance out having visits to gardens and excursions with talks.
Mm-hmm.
So in the winter months, we tend to do interior, you know, talks or visits to museums or, you know, collections and things like that. Would you have participated in those sorts of things if you were more interested in the gardens?
If the topic interested me, I did go to some. We had like a workshop up at Kalamunda, somebody's specific garden, and looked at how you'd go about restoring it, you know, measuring it up and things, rather than just going and looking. We actually had a workshop up in Kalamunda. I think we went to Carol's house.
Falls Farm.
Probably, yeah. But getting back to the lectures, I can't really remember where we had them. We went to the Bayswater Historic House for some of our end-of-year events and went to the bowling club in Victoria Park, I think, one Christmas event. But where we went for the lectures, I know now, I have been to some more recently down at
Peppermint Grove.
Yes.
That's a favourite. I think the facility is quite good.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Yes.
But I can't really remember where we went. I think we must have just moved around. Yeah. Mm. And I think I seem to recall doing not really a workshop, some sort of presentation on some gardens around the Anzac House. And showing the plans of what the group had done towards that.
Towards Anzac House.
When we renovated the garden there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess most of the members wouldn't have been aware what had happened, and so I had the plans, so I must have given
it. Was that done as like a tour?
But it was outdoors though, but it wasn't, it was... We ended up
on site, maybe.
We went on site, I'm sure, but we ended up at a park, so we must have combined a few things.
Yes, yeah.
And just, but it wasn't like an excursion to an old garden, it was just more local in Mount Hawthorne.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, you mentioned that you were more interested in the gardens, but when you were studying at
at TAFE.
Mm-hmm.
Was the course exciting for you? It was only 18 months, but it must have been a pretty diverse range of topics and subjects that was presented to you.
It was, but I wouldn't call it exciting.
Oh.
There were a few perhaps lecturers who did their best to make it exciting, and I did enjoy the plant identification class and the design class, obviously. But some of the classes, like irrigation or pest management or things like that, sometimes you just didn't know you were learning anything. You thought, oh, but somehow it just infiltrated. Eventually it did sink in. But,
You were drawn to design.
That's right. And the actual plants and the physical. I think one day a week we had a class where we would do the pruning and the weeding and more physical looking after a garden, the plant ID was quite good going out, because you'd go out and collect your own plants, and for some reason I think you must have had to write up on them, and then the lecturer would have a few that she would tell you about, that type of thing. So, but yeah, some of the classes weren't that exciting.
It was only at Bentley, you didn't go over to Murdoch?
No, Murdoch still hadn't opened. I think it opened very soon after I'd left. But okay. Yeah.
All right. I was, because you went into design, I didn't know how much landscape design was in the course.
It was just really one subject. And I did do something, part of a diploma subject, a diploma subject on landscape construction or something, which was all about, earth, moving earth and things, which I, building retaining walls and things. But at that time, I think I mentioned when we spoke before, there wasn't a landscape architecture course at UWA. And there was they called it landscaping horticulture or something at Curtin, but that was more like if you were a manager in a business that was doing something horticultural. It wasn't really like a landscape architecture course. So the only thing left was Bentley TAFE.
Well, that's a good start.
Mm.
And how, do they have business subjects that help you try to form a business when you were released on the public?
Not really. I think that might have been more of a diploma subject.
Oh, okay, further study.
Yes, but because a lot of the people in the course weren't really intending to, maybe they were, but some of them would work for local government, or private schools that needed a gardener more than.
Yeah.
So it was a mixed course, a lot of different threads to it, really.
Yes.
But
it had to be, probably. And 18 months is not that long, but you could do another 18 months for a diploma?
Hardly anyone did the diploma. No, I think you just did it part time.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there was a full-time diploma course, because you would just pick out your subjects, and then some years, quite a long time after I left, you could go through TAFE to get an acknowledgement of the work you'd done towards a diploma. So that's what myself and a lot of other designers did, just had to present what we'd done, how we'd set up the business, and
yep,
what work we'd done. Yeah.
Okay. I was going to ask about historic gardens and houses, and whether you can remember particular favourites or things that stand out.
It's a hard one. I do remember the one in, I really need to refer to my notes. I think it's out near 2J, and was a settler's garden, and it had roses all along the front on the street. But no, I can't really remember too many names. And I liked all the ones up in the hills, like we'd go past Northam. They weren't like a town name. It was just you'd go to the farm,
yes,
and you wouldn't, yeah, really remember a place. But a lot of them had huge old workshops and machinery and everything, which, you know, my husband and Dave would go looking at those, and then we'd just all go looking at all the old plants and what had survived.
We had a recent trip to Lowlands.
Oh yes, I've been. We did go there.
Oh golly, what a magnificent place.
Yes.
And the mulberry tree there was so dense because it wasn't watered. And you know, sort of gnarly.
Oh, like bonsai, but yeah, big.
Big,
but
yeah,
gnarled.
That's right, gnarly and very short branches.
Oh, okay, you know, I don't remember.
Because it was down by the sheds, down by the stables.
Okay.
But yes, I think we're off to York this year to revisit.
Yes, I can't remember the York Gardens, but I do remember Lowlands, and I think the couple that organised that were Bronwyn and Greg Keary. Reorganised it for you guys. Yes, so they were very knowledgeable, and then there was all the arum lilies, which some of the newer members were going, oh, this is lovely. It was just covered with weeds. I guess if you went recently, they die down, don't they?
Yes, they do.
When we went, it was quite wet, and there were.
No, this was.
Oh yeah, the other garden. Sorry, it was Horfenden. I was thinking of them. James Drummond's garden. You asked me one I remembered.
Yes. What's the name?
Hawthornden.
Hawthornden.
Yeah, and that was the one that I'm sure had the roses growing wild, sort of out on the street, on the road edge.
So, being a Drummond property, did that have a collection feel to it?
No. In actual fact, it's a private residence, and as I recall, we didn't go in to the house, but now that I'm thinking about it, what I do remember is that there were Drummond's hedge on the roadside in front of the property with Manetti eye roses. That's what I remember, and I probably photographed it, so that's possibly what that helps me remember that one.
With photographs and things, did they ever go into newsletters? Did you produce?
Yes, I'm sure I would have. But I mean, Anne was the secretary for a long, long time compared to me, Anne Willix. But no, for some reason, none that I can recall had photos in the newsletters. Cause
I think it's very hard when you're without the computer.
Exactly.
Again, everything's changed. We're on email.
That's right, it's so much easier. Yeah. But I mean, this newsletter here, I mean, you can see it's quite old and.
Yes.
I don't know.
There is a dated feel about Aronio.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, yeah, so no, I don't recall.
It has the WA logo, it has the patron Lady Law Smith. Is that the overall AGHS? Logo,
as I recall, yes.
Before the log of wood comes in.
Oh yes, that's what I was around when that was all being worked out, but that was mainly done in the eastern states.
We would have had to.
I don't think we were overly impressed with the log. with its rings of time sort of thing in it. Yeah, and then we had our own patron.
Oh, in WA.
I think we may have this log of wood. No, I'm sorry, I can't really remember if we did have our own patron.
I'm surprised if you did.
Right, yeah.
You've got a very active chair, and even when he stepped down, you know, you had Caroline Grant, and did Sue Munger do, she did?
I don't recall her being the chair, but not while I was actively in the committee, but she could well have, because there were long periods if I was busy at work, I would just go to, you know, I wasn't in the committee anymore and I would just go to these functions.
Right.
So
yeah.
I don't really remember. But I do remember quite well some of the formal gardens, like Queen's Gardens. John knew a lot about that, obviously, and that was...
And... King and the Government House Gardens.
Government House Gardens, yeah. We went there a couple of times, I would say, but somehow I don't really like that one as much, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I have gone independently, not with the Garden History Society, and when they've had open days and so on. Yeah, it is quite nice. But
what about Hyde Park?
Hyde Park... I used to rent a house right across the road from Hyde Park.
Yeah.
It was called number 711, what was the street? Glendower Street.
Oh, Glendower, I was in Vincent.
Oh, were you? Yeah. So I sort of spent some time there, but I don't really recall having a day there.
Okay. We've been having advocacy issues. They've converted the garden store shed into a cafe there.
Oh.
And there's our chair is very active in trying to make or keep the council accountable and bring the Heritage Council in. And it's changed the demographic that visits. There's a lot more crowds and parking is a...
I know. Well, I think that's... Do you think that's COVID?
No. I think it's a council
encouraging
issue, I think. You know, it's a business decision. It's instead of having caravans there dispensing coffee at a particular time and then the caravans moving on, you know, that this is a permanent and it's a lease agreement and perhaps it's easier to manage.
Yeah.
But the management of the trees and the roots and all the things that impact from crowds, including rubbish. Anyway.
Yeah. Those are the sorts of
things that we are looking at now in the society. So advocating where you can see that there is an issue in a cultured landscape, how can we assist in saving or conserving or whatever the...
Educating.
Participating.
Yes, well that's good. Yeah. But I have just anecdotally noticed, I mean, since COVID, all the parks around us are just full of people all the time. You used to be able to take your dog there and walk quietly around. Now there's picnickers and people playing games, which is great that the parks are being used, but it's definitely changed as well.
Yes.
And I was wondering if Hyde Park, more people were using it and they perhaps...
Oh, quite likely.
Yeah.
Quite, you know, it's not a... I'm sure that COVID has made parks so much more attractive because of the accessibility to fresh air and nature and things, but
do you need a cafe?
Exactly, yeah. Now, with the WA branch, I don't know whether we talked about this before, but where did the meetings take place?
When in the time I was involved, we would rotate around. I'm not sure if it was just between the chair and the secretary, but I do remember going to John's, obviously, and remember going to Anne's, and I remember people coming to my house, but I don't really recall going to too many other houses, so maybe it was just the chair and the secretary. And
so there was no specific venue that you all went to?
No, we would just take turns in hosting the meeting.
That's the same now.
Okay.
Yeah, and it does depend on whether you've got space. So people who have less, you know, maybe contribute more with
supper.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, supper. You're talking about evening. Were they evening?
The majority were evening, yes.
Oh, is that because of work?
I presume so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because definitely, I mean, I was working, but I probably could have squeezed in a daytime one, but it suited me the evenings. John was still lecturing. I'm sure Anne was working. I can't really remember. There was Edith Young. She worked at Victoria Park Council in horticulture there. Another couple from near Subiaco, John and... can't remember. Anyway...
Coralie Searles, was she a member?
Yes. Does she live in Darlington? Oh, I think
I'm
she lived
sure.
in Darlington.
It's a long way to come.
Oh, Coralie. No, I'm pretty sure she lived in the Swan Valley and she worked at the City of Nedlands from memory. Funny this, yeah, because my husband worked at the City of Nedlands and Coralie, I think, worked there too. As long as I've got the right person. And then she lived out the Swan Valley and she was making her own olive oil and stuff like that. Yeah, I think that's Coralie.
Iris Leggett? Iris Leggett, Lorraine Lingard and Carol Mansfield were original founding members, I believe.
I knew Carol via Garden History and the Cottage Garden Circle. Iris Leggett, the name rings a bell, but I can't quite picture her.
Okay.
And there was Diana
Scott.
Scott, yes, she was on the committee, I think, when I was. But she may not have been on the committee. But
the committee comes and goes.
Mm.
In your scrapbook, are you collecting still?
No, I haven't, no.
Because articles are not appearing in the local newspapers?
I specifically collected things that I thought I may be able to do a day trip or something with.
Okay.
That was the newspaper clippings. But if something really caught my attention, or like Gallipoli House, or whatever it was called.
Anzac House.
I should know that. I worked on that. So Anzac House, I collected cuttings for that because I'd been involved with it more. Well, again, because I'm in Fremantle, I did collect some on Manning House. Again, when I first moved there, I must have thought I might organise something. And we may have gone down there to Azalea Lee House. Yeah. So that, but really in Fremantle now, I don't really see anything that grabs my attention.
I'm thinking about, you know, the issues that have been coming out in our journal to do with a warming climate and plants adapting to the changes involved. So I wondered whether anything got into your scrapbook to do with changes like that.
No, I'm afraid it's more the historic things that would catch my attention. And living in Fremantle, there was Sampson House, which, again, the Garden History Society had a work day there, and I think we were cleaning up the place, helping with the garden there.
That's a National Trust property, isn't
it? It could well be.
Right.
Probably should be. And I think we helped, just did a big clean up one day and went down the cellar or something. And also the other, George Seddon, used to live a few doors up, so we had a day there once, looking around his garden. So they are the type of things I would be more likely to have kept a cutting on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you coming and rounding off the interview. We did have a bit of a COVID hiccup there.
Sure did.
Is there anything else that that springs to mind that you'd like to mention about the WA branch?
Well, obviously, I think John deserves a lot of credit for keeping the society together all these years, and you know, well, he's had a band of supporters, but without him I think there were times when it might have lapsed because no one really wanted to take on the chair, and then they had the rule where you could only be the chair for a few years, so he would then become the secretary and I think Anne or somebody would become the chair for a year, and then eventually John would get the chair back. So
he's coming up for that at the end of the conference.
Oh, okay.
We managed to get permission to extend his
his
term of office to incorporate the conference, because, you know, quite frankly, it would be much more difficult than
exactly
what it is.
Yes. So
well, I do hope you come down and
when is it?
It's in October, I think 18 and 19 of October 2024, but I don't know how you're going to find out.
Oh, that's right. I know the last time I saw Sue Munger, I said, yes, I'm going to sign up again. I've retired now. I've got more time. But I find even that having a property in Bridgetown, we're backwards and forwards. And
yeah, distractions.
Yes.
Well, the website, the AGHS website, is improving all the time.
Okay.
And your interview will go up on that. But also there's information on conferences and
what's
going on.
I may well get back into it. I mean, I often looked forward to it, thinking when I retire, I'm going to go to the interstate conferences.
Oh.
That's what my aim always used to be. But
that's the Hobart conference. That was in November.
And you went?
I did not because of health issues.
That's a shame.
But we've got direct linking, so I could register as a virtual member.
Okay, oh, that would be good.
Yes. It was lovely. Yeah. And local speakers, and that's what we're aiming for.
Okay, no, this is very professional, the booklet.
Well, we're a professional body.
Yes, I know. I should get
one. When you're ready, honestly, people have got their own It's like a gust of time.
Yeah, but I did always think, oh, when I retire, I'll be able to go to all these conferences over in the Eastern States. And has not happened.
They were the joys for me, I have to say, before I could actually contribute at the branch level.
Right, yeah.
Just going along, and Adelaide was fantastic, always fantastic.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, I've missed so many.
Ipswich this year.
In October or September, October?
September.
Okay.
Yeah. And probably already. It's later for us because our spring is later.
Especially down south.
Thank you very much for contributing. It's great. And it's good to see you again.
Thanks, Patsy. And thank you for putting the history together. I'm sure it'll be appreciated.
Yes, I think so. I think what it's giving us is a really good picture of the WA branch and the contributions made by people, which is lovely. So thank you.
Thank you.